name, but he did because he loved me. Amen. And I'm excited as well because I'm all about church planting. I think that's the right thing. I believe it's New Testament missions. And there's a church plant. How old is the church now? 3 or 4 years?
Actually, six.
Wow. 6 years old already? Well, time flies by.
6 years.
I remember when your pastor used to eat our food at our house and sleep on our couch. I remember when I used to be taller than him. That was a long time ago. I remember when I used to be stronger than him. That was a long time ago. We used to work out together, and I could lift more than him back then. Then we'd run, and he'd bounce around me like a kangaroo and just taunt me. I thought, if I could catch him, I'm going to kill him. But anyway, 1 John's where we're at this morning. And speaking of killing, he liked to kill me one time. I put up a swing set, and he dropped a bar of the swings on my head. And you know what? He said, oh, sorry, preacher. Like, that helped, you know. I'm seeing stars, hearing airplanes, gasping for breath. And here's the famous line, you okay? Y'all, sure, I feel fine. Do it again, you know. So, yeah, we have a lot of good memories. So, praise the Lord. Here we are in 1 John. Thank you, Pastor Campbell, for having us come. It's our honor to be here this morning. My pastor from Maryland, who was our pastor when we had left college a long time ago, he's 85 now, and he's in Salina, Kansas. He left Maryland to retire, and I said, you're not going to retire. I said, oh, yeah, I'm going to retire. He's out there a few weeks, and then he calls, and he says, hey, you want to help me start a church? I said, I told you you wouldn't retire. But that was a week right after I took First Baptist. So I said, well, if you called last week, I would have. But nonetheless, time's going on now, and we had the privilege of stopping by there in our travels coming back across the country. It was great to see him. That was just a blessing. He's 85. You know what he's talking about? Starting another church. At 85. Isn't that amazing? So I get an email from him last night. You know what it said? Terry, we're starting a church January 7th, Faith Baptist Church. And I already have a room rented. It's like, praise the Lord. He just doesn't quit. So I just share that this morning because it just encourages my heart. Just see your heroes along the way. Just keep on keeping on for the Lord. You know, that's exciting. So we're in 1 John. If you found 1 John, we're going to read about 10 verses here. And we'll see what the Lord has for us this morning. Wow, it's just exciting to be here. Thank you all so much. Wow. And I appreciate your expansion. You know, that's pretty neat. You know, that extra 6 feet makes a big difference, doesn't it? All right, here we go. And John, everybody there? The gospel, or it's actually the 1 John. 1 John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and shown to you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Let's pray. Father, we're before you this morning. We're asking God that there's lost among us, they be saved. And the saved this morning, Lord, might be revived, that our hearts would be made right, that folks would get help. Help us now for Jesus' sake. Amen. The title is a question. The question is your joy full? Is your joy full? You know, when the book of 1 John here is written, we're going to take a look at how and why our joy can be full. you look at the whole book as a whole, one of the key verses, obviously, that we might know that we have eternal life in John 5:13. And what we're going to focus on today is verse 4, that your joy may be full. And chapter 2, of course, that you sin not. Chapter 2, verse 1. So this epistle was given to give assurance to those who have believed on Christ and to show us how we can walk in close fellowship with the Lord so that we sin not and that our joy may be full. It seems to me that it's a real problem today amongst Christians who say, oh, I'm saved, but their joy is lacking. Now, I know personally that the joy robbers have stolen my joy on more than one occasion. How about you? I mean, it's just the fact of the matter. So let's jump in this morning in this epistle here and see what the Apostle John has to say about our joy being full and how he actually sets a stage for us to have revival if that's truly what we're seeking. Folks, revival is when a Christian gets their hearts right with the Lord and you're actually walking back in fellowship with God. And when that fellowship's been restored, there's that joy there. And I'm not talking about happiness. See, happiness is based on happening. So when it's happening, everybody's happy. When it's not happening, not happy. Pretty deep, isn't it? I mean, that's pretty good, huh? But the point of it is, even when it's not happening, we can still have joy of the Lord in our hearts. So let's go ahead and look here at verse 1. The Bible said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. You notice verse 2 is the parentheses. So I'm going to set it aside just for a second for emphasis. I'll do that in just a moment. Now let's just jump to verse 3, because you can do that with a parentheses. It says, the word of life, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So John is saying, okay, is this one working too? Yeah, I hear it. Okay. John's saying, I'm a witness of something. I want to declare to you something I've seen with my own eyes, something that I've heard with my own ears, my hands have handled. And he mentions this word of life. Was a capital W there in the scripture on purpose. Who is this word of life? Well, it's the Logos of God. In other words, it's Jesus Christ. It's God himself. And then the Holy Spirit had him to write here in verse 2 of parentheses to explain what is this word of life? What is it that you're witness of? So he says here in verse 2, he says, for the life that was manifested, okay, means it was made known, is put on display. And we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life. So we're not just dealing with life, we're dealing with eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Well, folks, you go back to his first epistle he wrote, was the Gospel of John, verse 1, he says, 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So he's talking about Jesus Christ, very God. And this is the time of year we celebrate that, isn't it? Where God left heaven, manifests himself in the flesh in the womb of a virgin named Mary, was born in a little town called Bethlehem in a stinking manger, a feeding trough, what it was, and he lived a perfect life, and he gave his life, he gave his blood, he died for you and I, that you and I might have life. This eternal life we're talking about, his name is Jesus Christ. So he says, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. Amen. So here's the declaration statement. I love how the Bible outlines itself. So he says, okay, what we've seen, what we've heard, what we've handled, we've seen Jesus with our own eyes. We've heard Jesus with our own ears. We've handled him. We walked. He stopped. Excuse me, Lord. I mean, we've handled him. Maybe they gave him a hug, shook his hand. We've handled the word alive. So we're declaring unto you something this morning, that which we have seen, that which we have heard, that our fellowship. Oh, folks, we're talking about a fellowship. There's a brotherly fellowship mentioned here, fellowship with us. We've had the privilege now this year, I preached in 9 different states. We've been through like 22 states to get to those 9. So we've been all over the place now. It's amazing. You go to places you've never been, you meet people you've never met, and there's a common bond there. Those who are saved, there's that instant fellowship there because we're saved by the same blood, the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's that fellowship, and then there's that heavenly fellowship, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Folks, so he's declaring this. He said, I'm a witness of this. I'm talking about not only our fellowship, but our fellowship with God, our fellowship with Jesus Christ. We're talking about our fellowship with the Word of Life. We're talking about our fellowship with eternal life. His name's Jesus. So I can and hear his voice begin in the build here as he's getting to verse 4. And he says, and these things we write unto you. Here's the reason or the purpose statement of the message. I'm writing this unto you for a reason here, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. 1 second here, please. I usually get thirsty when I'm working, so I have to grab my water. Hopefully you don't mind water in the pulpit, amen.
A gallon?
Well, I mean, I don't plan on preaching that long. Okay, so that your joy may be full. So I ask you this morning again, how's your joy? See, I could put it in context and ask this. How's your fellowship with Jesus? Now, if you've never met him, you've only heard about him, you know who he is, you know what he is, you know where he's come from, you know where he's at. You might know all the facts, but you don't know him. If you don't know him personally, I'd invite you to accept him personally this morning as your Savior. If you do know him personally this morning as your Savior, then I have to ask, how's your joy? Because it's going to be in direct relationship to your fellowship with the Son. So he gives us a declaration statement. He gives us a purpose statement. Then look at verse 5. You notice how this thing's building here. It says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you. This then is the message. We've seen him with our eyes. We've heard him with our ears. Our hands have handled him. This word of life manifests to us in the flesh. His name is Jesus Christ. He is eternal life. And our fellowship's what we're declaring in you, that your joy might be full. This then's the message. You ready for the message? This is the message that we've heard of him. In other words, this is the message that Jesus said. I'm just his mouthpiece. I'm just a window. I'm just relaying the message. We heard him say this. We were there. We seen him when he said it. We heard him when he said it. This is Jesus's message. All right, this then is the message. You ready for the message? Here it is. Ready? It's right there in verse 5. That God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. That's the message. That God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Wow. Folks, God's holy. I know we live in a day to where there's a coin word out there called political correctness. The Bible's not based on political correctness. It's based on biblical correctness. It's what does God say? So folks, God's holy and he's without sin. He's God. And there's none else. In fact, I feel bad sometimes for these Old Testament prophets when they had an experience with God and they seen him. And then with our limited vocabulary, they have to describe him. You know what I'm saying? They say, the Lord is like unto, no, he's not like that. Okay. The Lord is like unto, no, he's not like that either. Let's see here. The Lord is like unto, no, not like that. Oh, I got it. Here it is. There's God and there's none else.
That's who he is. See, God has transcended his creation. He's in a class all by himself. He's God all alone, folks. Even the devil's not his opposite. Now, the devil's a created being who has fallen in sin. He's the epitome of evil, but he is not God's opposite. God is God, and there's none else. He transcends all of his creation. He's God, he's holy, and he's light, and folks, we're not. We're not. See, what are we? Sinners. Big sinners. I mean, write down wicked sinners. So truly, truly, in this, our fellowship with God in this state is impossible. So God, being God, he sets the requirements for this fellowship, and then he makes a way for us to have this fellowship. So this morning, as we're getting into the meat of the message now, we need to look at how to test our fellowship. Because, you know, we can say anything. I could say that I could do a two-hand slam on a basketball rim. But I'd be lying because I can't jump but about 6 inches. And I'm way too short to even come close to the net, much less hit the rim. Okay. But you know, any of us can say anything. So we can say this morning, oh yeah, I have fellowship with God. But it's going to show up in your joy or lack thereof. Now, it's not something you can drum up. It's not something you can listen to music and get a warm, fuzzy feeling over. It's the truth. If your fellowship's right, your joy will be sweet. If your fellowship's suffering, your joy's going to be missing. Is this making sense? Oh, yeah. Yeah, amen. All right, now, so let us test then your fellowship with God. Let us test this morning my fellowship with God. So we might say, okay, how we test it? Is it by what we say? Is that how we test our fellowship? And the answer obviously would be no. Because we can say anything, but in 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So we could say this morning that I have fellowship with God. And if you're here right now with unconfessed sin in your life, then you're walking in darkness and you're lying between your teeth because you might be saved, but you don't have fellowship with the Son. Amen. This is just black and white. There's no in-betweens here. So it's not the saying that's important. It's the doing or the living of the truth. See, we could say that we have no sin. And then the Bible would tell us that we're deceived and the truth is not in us. We could say that we have not sinned. And that would be calling God a liar. Bad idea. Don't go there. Okay. Bad idea. Don't go there. Okay. But it shows up in our joy or the lack thereof. So it's how we walk in the light. Living a righteous life where our sin is confessed and our hearts are right before God, this joy only comes from God. Folks, you can't buy it at Walmart. You can't get it on a blue light special at Kmart. In fact, you might buy some stuff on the street to make you feel kind of weird, but you can't buy peace on the street. You can't buy rest in a bottle. It only comes from God. These are the gifts from the Lord. This joy only comes from him. Oh, amen. It shows up in our joy. So is your joy full? Okay, let's talk about this for a second. How many has been saved longer than 10 years? Several. Good. If you've been saved less than 10 years, that's good too, because you're saved. But for point of illustration, okay, I could probably even back it up if you've been saved 5 years, maybe 2 years, okay? The idea is if you've been saved for a little bit of time, you can train your flesh to go through the motions. You can train your flesh to read the Bible. You can train your flesh to pray. In other words, we call it having devotions or your quiet time or the time that you spend with God, okay? Each day. In fact, if you're not having that, you need to have that, okay? So I'm not giving this as a reason, oh, I don't need it. Yes, you do. You do need this, but I'm just saying when it becomes mechanical because it's become a lifestyle, and the lifestyle of a Christian, seriously, this is the best lifestyle there is on the planet. There's none better than being a Christian. Amen. All right. But in that Christian lifestyle, we can become carnal because our fellowship with God's been broke and we just become mechanical. Go through the motions. And when we're going through the motions, still living this lifestyle, but then your joy begins to wane because we've unplugged from the source of that fellowship. And that fellowship is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm ashamed to say I can have devotions and never meet with God. But I can check my list off. I had my devotions today. I'm thinking more important to God than me checking the list off is that I actually met with him. Amen? So I'm asking you this morning, how's your joy? Or I could say in context, how's your fellowship? Amen. I like to say this. How many remember the day you were saved? Praise the Lord. Remember how joyful you were? Oh, buddy. Rivers of joy just come flooding in. Oh, amen. Realizing you've been forgiven by a holy God. He loves you so much. He died for you. Amen. That was a shouting day. And now those have been saved 3, 5, 10 plus years. Do you realize this morning, listen to me, that you can still have as much joy as you did on the day you were saved today? Here's the sad part, preacher. That's usually not the case with most Christians because they've gotten away from the fellowship because of sin. That's a lonely place when you're carnal and walk away from God. You're deceiving yourself thinking you're okay, but you know there's a hole in your heart as big as the Grand Canyon, and you're hurting on the inside. Is this making sense, folks? I'm asking this morning, how's your fellowship? See, the means of our fellowship is that we have fellowship one with another, but it's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. It says right there in verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's how the fellowship is possible, only by the blood of Jesus. Folks, we're all born sinners. We've proved it to the world by growing up and sinning. You've sinned, I've sinned. Okay, we're sinners here. So I've been saved to be 38 years next month. Somebody might say, hey, preacher, have you ever sinned in that 38 years? Oh, yes. I mean, wicked bad sin. Did you lose your salvation? No. Let me show you. Hold your mark right there in chapter 1, but turn over 2 pages. Well, 2 pages in my Bible. We'll get to chapter 5 is where we're headed. Chapter 5. Let me show you something here. Let's start in verse 11. Verse 11. And this is the record. So for the record, here it is. That God hath given to us, what's it say? Eternal life. And this life is in his Son. All right, now I love how clear the Bible is, how easy it is to understand. Don't be telling me, I need an easier Bible to understand, because I won't believe you. That just means you bought into the lie of the devil, because that's how he markets these new perversions. He says, it's easier to understand. You're too dumb to understand a thee and a thou. That's what he does. Well, I'm not going to insult your intelligence. Everybody in here knows if I go, thou art the man, you know who I'm talking to. Come on. The devil says, you're stupid. You go, okay, I'm stupid. I need an easy Bible. Don't buy into his lie. Just stick to the truth, okay? Side note, anyway, getting me sidetracked here. But here's the thing. Here's how easy it is. Look at verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Amen. Easy. Real easy. You have Jesus, you have life. You don't have Jesus, you don't have life. Any questions? Pretty easy, isn't it? Huh? You have Jesus, you have life. You don't have Jesus, no life. Okay, now watch. These things have I written unto you. What? The record, what God just said. That you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, excuse me, that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Amen. If you place your faith in Christ as your Savior, having repented of your sins, the Holy Spirit of God has moved into you, yea, Jesus Christ, God Himself, and you're saved. If you don't have Christ, you're not saved. But once you are saved, then your works are going to determine this fellowship. And how sweet that fellowship is in direct correlation. You can't untie this. How sweet your joy is. Amen. So did I lose my salvation? No. Did it break my fellowship? Yes. Did it steal my joy? Stole my joy. What'd you do about it? Verse 9. Aren't you glad God doesn't leave us in that state? Turn back to verse 9, chapter 1. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The word confess is a compound word. It means same word. In other words, we need to say the same word about it God does. We need to say the same thing about our sin that God says about our sin. You know how hard that is? We just want to say, God, I'm sorry, I sinned. He wants to hear what you did. Well, that's humbling. That's part of the fix here. Humbling ourselves before God. God, I have sinned. And I did thus and so. And I'm sorry. And you're getting things right with God. How many's ever parked on verse 9 before? Yeah. Sometimes I feel like that's my favorite verse. So what about the sins I can't remember? Ask God to show you. Before you do that, make sure you get a brand new pen with lots of ink in it and get ready to write fast, because He's going to show you. Amen. Because He wants you to be right with Him. Here's the part that blows my mind. You know why? Not because He's some mean bully, but because He loves you and He desires your fellowship with Him. Can you imagine that? God wants to have fellowship with Terry Danford. So He made a way to have this fellowship. By the blood of His Son. Jesus Christ, God, is the means that our fellowship can even be possible in the first place. In fact, God, Jesus Christ, His blood is the reason that our fellowship can be restored. When the fellowship's restored, the joy's back. When the joy's back, revival. Pretty easy, isn't it? Now, I'd like to see a nationwide revival. But we can have a revival downtown Indy today, right here. If there's some things that stole in your joy, that you confess those and get them right with God this morning. And you can leave here with joy in your heart and good possibility when that's happening to be a smile on your face when you go out that door. But whether it ever changed your face of smiling or not, folks, to have that joy back, that peace back, is priceless. You cannot buy that. It was purchased for you by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. So the founder of our fellowship. Now, Don't miss this point. I've worked all hour so far to get to here. In fact, this came to me a few months ago, this message, in my personal devotions. Here it is. Notice it says in verse 9, if we confess our sins, what's the next three words, church? He is faithful. God is faithful. I looked that word faithful up. I kind of knew what it meant, but I just looked it up. Here's what I found out. Faithful means trustworthy. Oh, man, this is where this thing, you better put your seatbelts on because this is going to be rough right here, okay? God is trustworthy. Amen. Now, wait. Also, God is certain. And here's the part of the definition when I read it. Oh, my soul, friend. John, think about this. Here's what it said. Worthy to be believed. Folks, God is worthy to be believed. Why? Because God always does exactly what he says he'll do every time. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be believed. God's faithful. He's trustworthy. He's certain. He's worthy to be believed. And I'm thinking about, okay, wow, that could be a whole sermon all by itself, just the faithfulness of God. All right, now let's go back here with me for a second. Those that's been saved 3, 5 years, 10 years plus, let's be honest this morning here and deal with the issue of how this thing applies. Have you ever done some really stupid things in those years you've been saved? I mean wicked things. I mean you flat out sin big time. Yeah. And now that haunts you to every time you get ready now to do something for God, our accuser throws that back in your face and you hear him say, God can't use you. Look what you've done. Fact, are you sure you're even saved? I'm talking about what the accuser is telling us now. So we want to do something for God, and about time we get ready to do something for God, the guilt comes flooding back in. The shame of what's happened is just haunting our soul, and it defeats us. So we try to handle it in the flesh. Now watch. So we try to do better. We try harder next time. Folks, you can't do something to earn God's approval.
Right.
So we're caught in this cycle. When I'm wanting to do better and I'm trying harder to serve my Lord, but where's the joy? Is gone because I'm not handling it his way. I'm chasing my tail. Watch, sometimes people get so discouraged with that, they quit and just sit down. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do. They're saying, I can't do it on my own. You're right, you can't. But God is faithful. Think with me for a second. The Holy Spirit, when he writes something, he starts somewhere, he goes somewhere, and he finishes on purpose with a purpose. The Holy Spirit's never going, oh, man, I need 2 more verses. What would I say? Oh, yeah. And you just write something down. The Holy Spirit never did that. Right. Every word, every verse, every sentence is there by divine appointment and purpose. So you got to, when you study the Bible, you have to study it in context. So here's this phrase, God is faithful, he's trustworthy, he's certain, he's worthy to be believed because he always does exactly what he says he'll do every time. Time out. Where's that phrase? What's the context? It's in a verse to where we're getting right with God. Why? Because he knew we'd be beat up by the devil. And he would be trying to get us to try harder and do better next time to somehow make it up, to somehow get our approval for doing good. Are you listening? Or just quit because we can't do anything? Folks, he is faithful. What did he say he would do? He said, if we confessed it, called it the same thing he calls it in Proverbs, even said to forsake it, he said, then we'll have mercy. In this verse, he says, you confess it, I'm faithful. I'm going to do exactly what I said I will do. What did he say? And just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Folks, sometimes we act like we're of a different faith, a faith that practices works to gain a merit for our salvation. No, no, no. It's by faith. It's by faith I was saved. It's by faith I live. In fact, doesn't it say the just shall live by faith? Okay. So in context, when I've confessed it before the Lord, he's just, in other words, Jesus paid the price for me so he can forgive my sin. So he not only can forgive my sin, he wants to forgive my sin. He wants to have fellowship with me more than I want to have fellowship with him. He's made that way. So quit trying harder to gain his favor, trying doing better to gain some kind of merit. When we just simply humble ourselves before him, confess that sin, and trust him by faith that he's not only forgiven it, but he's cleansing us now from all unrighteousness. What a beautiful application of this passage. Sometimes the familiar passages like this, we know them so well, seems like it steals the thunder, it loses its impact. God didn't intend for you to be chasing your tail. He intends for you to just trust him. You know, some great parallel passages would be like Hebrews 9:14 that says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Folks, it's not me trying harder. It's God who forgives me. And it's God who cleanses me so I can serve him. Does that make sense? Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace was bestowed upon me was not in vain. Which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labor more abundantly than they all. See, it's not a passive thing. You don't just sit down and quit. But it's by his grace you labor now. Okay? But the grace of God, which was with me. Folks, I was saved by his grace, and I get to serve him by his grace. We have the privilege to drive all over the country right now telling people about Jesus, and I get to go to heaven. Count me in. And all the shame of the things you've done, wicked, I mean vile, just wicked. And the devil would love to keep you defeated. But God's amazing grace forgave you to save you. And God's amazing grace can forgive you so you can serve him. You can't work for either one. We're but sinners. Clay feet, clay hands. On our best day, our righteousness are as filthy rags. But by his grace, he saved me. And by his grace this morning, we can lay aside the guilt that's plaguing us. And use an analogy, if you will, get back on the horse and start riding again for the Lord. Sin's knocked you off, get back up there this morning by grace and start riding for the Lord. Why? God's faithful. See, it's all about him. It's not about Terry Danford. He's faithful. Well, what's he faithful in? Romans 10:13, he's faithful to save us. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's faithful to keep us safe. 1 Peter 1:5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith and the salvation to be revealed in the last time. Amen. He's faithful to forgive us our sin. 1 John 1:9. We spent all hour on that so far. Amen. In fact, let's read that verse together again. Everybody look at it. Verse 9. Ready? Out loud. Same time. Go. If we confess. No, it means everybody at the same time out loud. Ready? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is faithful. Folks, he's faithful to give you a way out when you're tempted, 1 Corinthians 10:13. I mean, you can just go through and find every area of your life you can tack on the phrase, God is faithful. God is trustworthy. God is certain. God is worthy to be believed. He's going to do exactly what he says he'll do every time. I'm not asking you to show your hands because it's none of my business. I can't forgive your sin anyway. But I just wonder this morning how many is defeated, sitting in the house of God this morning, singing the old hymns of the faith. And we say, oh, yeah, we have fellowship. But joy's a long ways off. Let's be honest with the Lord this morning. Confess whatever that is. And by faith, for you get up off your knees, you're trusting God to forgive you. When you leave that door, you can trust God that he's cleansed you. And that by his grace, he can help you not fall next time. God, by your grace, let that last time be the last time I've done whatever it is. By your grace, God, help me to walk pleasing in your sight. See the difference of that than trying harder? Isn't that the mentality of most Christians? I'll do better next time. Give me one more chance. I'll try harder. And you remain defeated because you haven't trusted God. So the devil got us busy with works when it's a matter of faith. So by faith, I can live this verse because of him. Because he is faithful. Hey, if you know this verse, finish it for me. Ready? The joy of the Lord is your strength. The what of the Lord is your strength? Joy. Is your joy full? You see why the devil delights in stealing your joy? He steals your strength. Well, where is it? In Christ, that's where our joy is. In Christ is where our strength is. Folks, anytime you look in the mirror and think, I've got this, you've lost it. Not your salvation, but you've lost the battle, is what I'm meaning, okay? So I'm encouraging, let's be focused back to what God said he is faithful to do. Maybe this morning we need to get saved. He said, if you call upon me, I'll save you. That's a promise. He's faithful to save you. Maybe this morning you need to confess some things, get right. He can forgive you for that too. We can have the joy back. Right here in Sunday school, move on into the next hour. With joy in our heart to sing the hymns of the faith and hear what God has for us in his word. Amen. Let's have revival this morning. Amen. How? Having the joy back. How's your joy this morning? Father, we're before you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the Holy Spirit putting that phrase in this context to help us in real life where we live in 2017.